Spend a little time in the Word together tonight. So let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, right to the beginning of the book, Psalm 1. We'll get there in a few minutes. As we continue getting started with our new year together as a church, what I want to do is spend a little time with you on Wednesday evenings as we start this year together. Just sharing some devotional thoughts and personal meditations from my own Bible study and quiet time as I'm working through the scriptures myself this year. And there's some text that jumped off the page at me as I was reading this week, and they kind of fit together neatly in the way the Lord was just bringing them to my mind as I read the scriptures this week. And so what I'm doing is I'm praying that these brief times in the Word on Wednesday nights will prove helpful, beneficial for us over these next few weeks as we prepare our hearts each week for a season of prayer. I want to pray together on Wednesday nights as we do. Tonight then I want to bring your attention to the beginning of the book of Psalms. Psalms 1 and 2 and 3. They're short psalms, but I want to consider them with you this evening. I think as we read back through these familiar psalms, what I want us to note tonight is the fact that each one of these addresses a different, yet a connected meditation that I pray will guide and guard our hearts as we enter this new year. And so three ideas captured in each of these, or three ideas captured in one in each psalm of these first three psalms tonight. The first thing I want you to consider is, what is our meditation in the new year? What are you going to give your attention to in the new year? What's going to captivate your thoughts? What's going to arrest your heart? What is it you're going to mull over as you enter this year? There's a lot to grab your attention. We live in a day when most of us carry far more than a television in our pocket. When it comes to access to media, we have social media and we have news 24/7 available to us. You can't pump gas anymore without them streaming something into your face. And so we have input at every turn, and that starts to take hold of us. It's not like as if somehow we hold it. It takes hold of us if we're not careful. And we've talked about in the last few years how often even the professing church has demonstrated a fearfulness all across a spectrum of thought. Doesn't really matter if it's coming from the right or the left. Doesn't really matter where it's coming from. I'm watching the people of God demonstrate a fearfulness. And so I want to ask you the question, what are we going to meditate on this year? Who are we going to listen to? Who's going to have the privilege and the right from us to speak into our lives? Who are we going to give our attention to? What are we going to think about? And with that in mind, I think Psalm 1 is a fitting meditation as we start the year. As I was reading this week, it just, again, reminded me, it warned me, it convicted me. It spoke into my mind a reminder that I want to remind you of, our meditation for the new year. Consider Psalm 1 with me. I'm going to put it on the screen. You can follow along there or in your Bible. But Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." What is your meditation for the new year going to be? What are you going to meditate on in this new year? We're going to master every word from the lips of the reporters of the local news stations or of our favorite news network? Are we going to make sure we don't miss a headline and we're going to hang on every word from every doctor, conservative or not? What are we going to do this year? Whose voice are we going to listen to in these days? Scriptures say the one who is blessed, the one whose roots go deep and he doesn't get blown over when the storms of life come, he doesn't go dry, is the one who's not listening to the wicked. He's not listening to the world. He's not captivated by every thought from every voice in this world, but he's listening and he's thinking and he's meditating. She's paying attention to the Word of God. And so much so that the language of the Psalm says that the law of the Lord, the words of our God, are our meditation day and night. I don't know if you run into what I do when you go from a work rhythm to a vacation rhythm or a break rhythm back to a work rhythm, but it messes with my sleep sometimes. So I find myself waking up more at night than I normally do. I got a question. When you wake up at night, what's on your mind? What just races through your mind that keeps you from going back to sleep? Are you meditating on the words of your God or on the fears of your heart? The troubles of your life? The words that you heard in the evening news before you went to bed? What is it that you're meditating on? I'm meditating on. I got to ask myself the question. And as I read the psalm again, I was just reminded as we're starting this year together that brothers and sisters, I want to call you as I want to call myself to shut out the other voices that are intending to breed fear in you or anger in you or division in you. Listen to the words of your God. Learn them. Meditate on them. I want us to be a people who in 2022, when we wake up at night, we wake up praying to our God, not fearing man. Not troubled by everything that's going on, every wind that's blowing, but we're praying for each other. And we're thinking of what our God has said. May we be a people in this year who meditate on the words of our God. Particularly, he says here, the instructions of the law that guide the thoughts and the conversation to bring our behavior, our thinking, our living, our speaking into line with God's righteous requirements. That we're so concerned that God be honored that we can't get enough of what God says. The law of the Lord, His commandments and His instructions fill our minds and fill our mouths. This is our meditation for the new year. I want to call us to this again. But not only do we find our meditation for the new year in Psalm 1. Secondly, I want you to consider our devotion for the new year, our devotion in the new year, in Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, we read some familiar words. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. This is a problem we've seen for many generations in this world, a people who decide that they're not going to listen to God anymore. And notice it's the kings of the earth, it's the rulers, it's the ones with the power who have decided we're not going to listen to God. So let's burst the bonds. Let's throw off any cords that would bind us to Him. And how does God respond? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He holds them in derision, and he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The kings think they're in charge. But the Lord, the anointed one, the Messiah, rules over all. So what's the response of those who know him? Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. I call this our devotion, or you might want to use a word like allegiance, because there are a lot of people calling out for us to follow them in these days. Listen to them. Follow them. Run with them. Do what they do, say what they say, love what they love, go where they go, follow their guidance. And yet the psalmist makes plain as he records the words of the Lord, the command is no, there is one king. There's one loyalty. There is one devotion for the faithful. We serve the Lord with reverential awe. We rejoice, but we do so with a trembling that says, he's in charge and I am not. We kiss the Son, that symbol of honor, as though we bowed and kissed his ring, because he is the authority, we are not. And what happens to those who submit themselves to King Jesus? They are blessed. They are protected. As they take refuge in him. There's going to be a lot of temptation in the coming months and years to listen to the voices around us, to bow to other rulers, to other opinions, to the whims and the cries of the people and the leaders around us. Can I call you to serve your God with fear, with reverence, that realizes that he sits on the throne and he laughs at everybody else who thinks they're in charge? Can I call you tonight to take refuge in him and in him alone? A lot of things that you could do with your time, with your money, with your energy. Try to make yourself feel a little safer, a little more secure. We've got to ask the question, when trouble comes, do we run for the hills or do we run to our God? Right? How do we think in these days? So we've got meditation for the new year, his word. We've got devotion for the new year, our King. But I want you to consider thirdly, and it's interesting how these psalms flow, I want you to consider our protection in the new year. We just read at the end of Psalm 2, blessed are all who take refuge in him. And it's very fitting that Psalm 3 says what it does. It follows right on the heels of this one in the Psalter, in the record. For in Psalm 3, we read these words, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. some discussion as to what exactly Selah is. It seems to be some kind of a instruction as you read poetry or as you might have been singing to pause and think a little bit. Let that sink in. You know, I think I could be wrong, but I think at least my awareness of it is greater now. Maybe it's because of the rise of social media and the fact that there's so many voices out there right now. But I think in the last year or two, I have heard more public defamation of Christ and of Christianity in this country than in any other time in my entire life. More stories of deconversions and more discussions trying to, and more ploys trying to get people to jettison the faith. More saying than at any time I can recall, there is no salvation in God. There's no protection in this one you say you worship and believe in. He can do nothing for you. He doesn't exist. This is the mantra of our age. There is no God, and you are fools if you think there is. This is what our world is saying to us. What does the psalmist say? My foes keep saying, God can't save you. God can't protect you from us. But how does the psalmist respond in the face of such opposition, such attacks? But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. Now, that's interesting. How did shields work in this day? It was in front of you, right? Your shield before me. Or you maybe have a shield behind me or a shield beside me, but that's not the word he uses. You are a shield about me. I'm not a fan of using sci-fi illustrations when I talk about the scriptures, but you might think of a force field. A shield on every side. No one gets to me that doesn't come through you. That's how he prayed. I am surrounded by more enemies than I can even count, but they can't touch me. They can't touch me because you are my shield. You are my God. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me. How sweet are those words? It would be one thing if he could simply say, I cried to the Lord, and I'm sure he heard me. Because he hears all my prayers. This is good news. He hears me. He doesn't say, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. He says, I cried to the Lord and he answered me. From his holy hill. Again, stop and think about this. Selah. I want you to read the next words. I want you to see them. What does one who believes that, who knows that, do? What does that look like in the life? How does that show up practically? I lay down and slept. He doesn't say I laid down and tried to sleep. I lay down and slept with one eye open. I lay down but kept a finger on the trigger. I lay down but woke up every few minutes to make sure I'm still okay. I lay down and slept. I woke again.
for the Lord sustained me. Do you realize you only wake up and are still alive because the Lord kept you alive while you slept? Because the Sovereign One was still sovereign? No, I lay down and slept because I'm healthy, right? I eat right and I exercise and I'm careful and I work hard, and I lay down and slept and woke because I'm careful. I lay down and slept and woke again because I plan well. I lay down and slept and I woke again because I've got a security system and I've got a closet full of self-defense. I lay down and slept and I woke again because I've got a bank account that is filled with money. I've been saving for years to make sure for a rainy day I'm taken care of. No. I lay down and slept and I woke again because God is God. The Lord sustained me. Do you realize what a declaration of dependence sleep is? What a declaration of trust sleep is. I can't defend myself while I sleep. I can't protect myself while I sleep. I can't provide for myself while I sleep. I can't sustain myself while I sleep. No, I lie down and sleep as a child of God because God sustains me. I wonder, as we go into this year, are we thinking like this? We know this. I mean, as I say it, we go, well, of course, that makes perfect sense. But how does that show up in your life? Do we wake with praise on our lips? You gave me another day. You put breath in my lungs. You put strength in my muscles. You kept me from going insane last night. At least I think so, right? I mean, you sustained me. I did not do one thing last night to keep myself alive. You, God, were God. And I am not. I lay down and slept. I woke again because the Lord. The Lord sustained me. And because that is true, what does he say next? The next five words are astounding. I will not fear. Now, this is not a man who says, I will not fear, even if the winds begin to blow. I will not fear if an army should approach. I will not fear if. This is a man who has already said, many are rising against me. Not many might rise. Many are rising. The army has already assembled. The enemies are already chasing him. So he's lying down and sleeping in the midst of threats on his life. And he's saying, in the midst of that, I won't fear. Not I think I won't fear if, no, I'm in the middle of the battle and I'm not afraid. Of many thousands of people
who have set themselves against me all around. Does this take your breath away like it's been taking my breath away this week? I'm reading this and this is amazing. But this is just like our God to work in the heart of His people, to trust Him no matter what we're facing. He says, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. And then He cries out, arise, O Lord. Save me, oh my God. See, this is the thing. I lay down, I slept, I woke. He sustained me. I'm not going to fear. Now, I don't know about you, but Psalm of David, he's a warrior. He's killed a lion. He's killed a bear. He's killed a giant. He's now running. He's leading an army. He's got an army chasing him. And what would you write next? I mean, I slept. I feel strong. I'm now awake. Yes, God protected me overnight, but now it's my job, right? So I will arise. And I will fight. Arise, O Lord, and fight for me. You, God, save me. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Why? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. And again, the psalmist writes, now stop and meditate on that. Brothers and sisters, this year our meditation must be the word of our God. And our devotion must be our King who rules over everything. And we must confess, and we must remember, and we must meditate on the fact that if we are to be protected this year from man, from disease, from illness, from whatever, if we are to be protected, it's because salvation belongs to the Lord. Not because we're just going to be really smart this year. And we're going to be extra careful. And we're going to plan well. And we're going to figure it all out. And we're going to work our plan. And therefore, we're going to be safe. Safe from government. Safe from disease. Safe from people. Safe from whoever. That we're going to... No. No. Be as wise as you can be. Be as careful as you can be. Read up and be as informed as you can be. But you cannot protect yourself ultimately. Neither can I. Our days are in His hand. Our breath is in His hand. Our safety and security are in His hand. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to be protected this year from any and all things that may come against us, it is going to be because salvation is of the Lord. Do you believe this? Do I believe this? Or does it make for a really nice, quick devotional, and then we get back to real life where we all go on running around like chickens with our heads cut off because we believe at the end of the day we save ourselves? We protect ourselves. We make life work. We sleep with one eye open because we keep the world spinning while we sleep, right? We know better than this. And yet, it's so easy, isn't it, to fall into the trap of thinking I can be smart enough, I can become strong enough, I can be healthy enough, I can be wise enough, I can be careful enough to make sure I'm taken care of, when at the end of the day the Scriptures remind us the only reason we even get up in the morning is because the Lord sustained us while we slept. So brothers and sisters, I don't want this to be a chiding of you. I want this to be a pleading with you. As we go into 2022, we need to go in with our eyes fixed so far higher than they usually are. Because we often go into a new year and our eyes are fixed on a calendar and on a diet plan. Our eyes are fixed upon how much money we need to make and how we've got to work our plans and all the rest. And hear me, there's nothing wrong with those plans. We've been talking about them in the last couple of weeks. Great. Make good plans and be wise and be careful, but don't trust them. Don't hope in them. Because you can have the wisest plans, humanly speaking, in the world, and you could close your eyes tonight and not open them in the morning. Unless the Lord sustains you. And while we know that, we often find that we go to sleep afraid, and we wake up in the morning afraid, because we forget that overnight we didn't even keep ourselves alive as we slept. The psalmist, in the midst of a time where he's being chased for his life, says, I can lie down and sleep and rise because the Lord sustained me. And though tens of thousands of troops surround me, I won't be afraid. I got a question. How would you and I respond if tomorrow we found out that in this nation, Christianity was outlawed? Could we say, I will not fear? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your will be done. I want us to go into this year to the best of our ability, confessing what is true and trusting Him who is true. Be wise, be informed, be careful. Plan, work hard. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your strength, your wisdom, your knowledge, your information. Trust your God. And let Him lead and sustain and guide and instruct you as His word is your meditation. As He Himself, as your King, is your devotion. And as you and I confess, He alone is our protection in the coming year. This is what the Lord's been giving me this week, just in my Bible reading. I hope that it's a help to you. What I want to do over the next few weeks, by God's grace, is just as the Lord brings texts to mind, spend some time meditating with you as we're in the Word together. So let's go to prayer tonight. With these things ringing in our ears. I want this to be the way that we pray. I want us to go to prayer tonight. I want us to pray as those who have the Word as our meditation, the Lord as our devotion, and who know that God alone is our protection. Let's cry out to Him like that tonight. All right? We'll pray like that.